For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I'm going to speak about one of the stories in the koan collection from Ehe Dogen, the 13th century founder of this tradition of Soto Zen, who brought it from China to Japan. This is a collection of 90 cases with his own verse comments from his extensive record. The one I want to talk about this morning, I'll read the case and the verse and then comment on each. An ancient said, "The bright clear hundreds of grass tips trip." Excuse me. "The bright clear hundreds of grass tips are the bright clear mind of the ancestral teachers." So that's the whole case. That's the story. And then Dogen's verse comment: "Although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. Staying within the gate, do not wait for the brightness of others. Without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. Even the hard of hearing feel moved by the sound of evening rain." So, I'll come back to the verse. I want to talk about the main case first. So Dogen writes here, an ancient said, and actually we know that this is a quote from the great Layman Pan, 8th century Zen adept, who remained a layman. He did not become ordained as a monk, did not become a formal teacher, but he's considered a great, great Zen adept and master. So he said, "The bright, clear hundreds of grass tips are the bright, clear minds and hearts of the ancestral teachers." So, this is about the ancestors, the ancestral teachers, the ancestors. Actually, in this line, Shohakuan, I might have translated it as the ancestral teacher, referring to Bodhidharma, who's on our altar. The Indian master who came to China is considered the founder of Chan or Zen. But really, it refers to all the ancestral teachers. Zen, all these Zen stories are stories about great masters in China and in Japan, and we talk about Suzuki Roshi, who came to America the same way. But these ancestral teachers are very important to us. We look back at these stories. So the word koan, just my usual disclaimer, is confusing to some people. In some branches of Zen, that's considered a kind of riddle to solve, or you have to pass through it and go through a whole. There's hundreds of them. But the point is that these old teaching stories teach us something. These are not historical artifacts from, in this case, the 700s, but they have something to do with our practice today, which is why we study them. So this teaching story, again, says, an ancient said, referring to Layman Pang, and Dogen selected these cases and phrased them, "The bright, clear hundreds of grass tips are the bright, clear minds of the ancestral teachers." So a little bit more about Layman Pang. He was considered a great Zen master, and actually his daughter, Ling Zhao, and his wife and his son were also very adept at Zen, but there are many stories about Layman Pang. There's a whole collection of his recorded sayings, which has been translated into English. Maybe most famous is, he said, "My magical powers are chopping wood and carrying water." So everyday activities. Back then, that was everyday activities. They didn't have indoor plumbing, and they didn't have electric lights. So they chopped wood to for their fuel, and they carried water from wherever the nearest well was. Or stream. Anyway, He said that's my magical power. So, you know, traditionally Buddhist meditation is sometimes taken up by people who want to get special powers, superpowers, you know. And of course there's a kind of power that comes from just sitting, but that's not the point of our practice. Our practice is about just everyday things, and that's what this story is really about, the whole story. So, Layman Pang, so it's appropriate that Layman Pang talks about this. He actually was a student. He went back and forth, as has happened often in China, between two of the great, in his case, between two of the great masters of all times, Shuto, who's the author, or Sekito in Japanese, is the author of the Song of the Grass Hut and the Harmony of Difference and Sameness, which we chant regularly. So Shuto was the teacher of Yunyan's teacher. Yunyan was the teacher of Dongshan, who I've talked about a lot in terms of his stories. Anyway, so Shuto is kind of the predecessor of Dongshan, was the founder of Saodama Shoto Zen, so that's our lineage. But Layman Pang also studied with the great teacher Mazu, who three generations after him was the great teacher Linji, so the Rinzai side. So anyway, Layman Pang was a great adept in his time, and there are many, many stories about him, but one of his quotes that Dogen likes to refer to a number of times, but here he listed as actually case 9 in his 90 cases. The bright, clear hundreds of grass tips are the bright, clear mind of and heart, it's the same word in Chinese and Japanese, of the ancestral teachers. So what's this bright, clear hundreds of grass tips? This is a kind of standard phrase for the whole phenomenal world. Sometimes they talk about the 10,000 grasses. So all of the phenomena in the phenomenal world, in our everyday activity, in our everyday life, is the bright mind, the clear mind and heart of the great ancestral teachers. So Layman Pang said this. And, you know, this is important for our practice. The ancestral teachers, you know, there's a whole series of, mostly from the 800s, but some from the 700s, great masters who are the sources of most of the traditional koans or teaching stories. Of course, there are many before and after, but because this tradition has been handed down from the Buddha through India to Bodhidharma, the ancestral teacher. And there were six ancestors starting with Bodhidharma. So sometimes the ancestral teachers might refer to those six, but then Shuto and Mazu were both a couple generations after the sixth ancestor. Anyway, we study this, we sometimes chant this lineage and study these teachers just because they, you know, we appreciate that this practice is here and still available to us, even in Chicago, in the 21st century. So, but what is Layman Pang saying here? He's saying that all the phenomenal worlds, the hundreds of grass tips, is the bright, clear minds of the ancestral teachers. And there's a whole set of stories about grasses that I'll refer to a little bit of in terms of talking about Dogen's verse, but well, first of all, this doesn't mean like mowed lawns or golf courses. So grass is kind of the equivalent of weeds back then. They were wild grasses. And Suki Roshi talks about mind weeds and how we should use the thoughts and feelings and the stuff, the weeds that come up as we sit, and probably you all noticed some thoughts or feelings arising in between your breaths or right in the middle of your inhale and exhale as we were sitting. When we are willing to face all of that stuff, all of the weeds of our life, something happens. In terms of this story, we connect with the clear mind of the Buddha ancestors. So sometimes people come to practice to escape from the phenomenal world, to escape from their lives. Sometimes we think this will be a refuge and sanctuary, and it is in a way. Zazen is a refuge, and it is a sanctuary, and we can trust it, or we can grow to trust it, each of us. But it's not about running away from or getting rid of all of the stuff in the world. It's right here with you. Everything and everybody everything you've ever done and everybody you've ever met or will meet is part of your zazen here this morning. So the bright, clear hundreds of grass tips are here. And, you know, in early Buddhism there was this idea of the unconditioned or getting free from the conditions of our world. But Chan and Zen and Dogen and, you know, all of these ancestral teachers emphasize to us that it's not separate. Nirvana is not somewhere else. The ultimate is not on some mountaintop in China or Japan or California. It's right here. In Chicago, in our everyday activity. How do we see that? How do we see that all of these situations of our life are actually the clear mind, the bright mind and heart of the great ancestors? We say, we will say at the end of Dharma, gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. So we see that each situation is an opportunity to enter into the truth, into reality, into the teaching of how to be. So this is an important statement, that the ancestral teachers, bright, clear mind is not separate from the bright, clear hundreds or thousands or ten thousands of grass tips of all the stuff of our everyday life during the week in the world. That may, you know, be disappointing news to some of you. You may have wanted some, you know, some great ultimate experience or escape or something. But it's not separate. So Suzuki Roshi said, my teacher's teacher said, the world is its own magic. Right in the middle of this situation that we're in, with all of the problems we each have, with all of the problems our society has, this is where we see the clear heart of the Buddha ancestors. So that's a little about my comment on this story. Dogen's verse is very interesting. He says, although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. Staying within the gate, do not wait for the brightness of others. Without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. Even the hard of hearing, feel moved by the sound of evening rain. So I want to talk about each of those lines. Although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. And sometimes they talk about the 10,000 is a kind of number that's used traditionally in China and Japan for lots, many, many, many. It's not just 10,000, it's 100,000, whatever. Although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. So, you know, we do have this, you know, feeling of wanting it all tied up. We want to understand. We want to know what to do and how to live and you know, what's it all about? So, you know, we have to admit that some part of us, and maybe when we come to practice, we're hoping to get it all figured out and to know what to do and to get the answers and to know how to live and so forth. We want it all tied up. But for tens of thousands of miles, Dogen says, nothing holds. So one of the realities that we start to see, I mean, doing this practice of sitting upright and being present regularly, several times a week or more, at home in your spare time, whenever, we start to realize many things, not just have some understanding, some discursive understanding, but we realize physically, this is a yogic practice, we sit upright and we realize that, well, that we're connected to all the different grass tips, to many different people, that we're all, you know, sort of in it together, that we're not practicing just for ourselves. Of course, people come to practice wanting to find some calm and peace of mind and clarity, and that's fine, and part of our practice is a kind of settling where we do feel some deeper calm. We connect with our inhale and exhale, and that's available. But also we start to realize what's sometimes called ungraspability, that we can't get a hold of anything. Nothing holds. There's nothing ultimate that we can rely on, except maybe zazen, which is nothing at all. So, although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. There's nothing for us to hold. There's nothing to hold. Nothing can hold us. This is, when we start to realize it, kind of a shocking reality. Our whole world and our economic system and our media and our, you know, and our, the infrastructure, you know, is all based on things that we can, you know, rely on. But here, Dogen is saying, although we want it all tied up for myriad miles all around, throughout space, and he might add time, nothing holds. We can't get a hold of anything. So, this has to do with the practice of patience, too. I like to say the Sanskrit word, anapadika dharma kshanti. This is considered the equivalent to enlightenment, the patience of knowing that we can't hold anything, that nothing is static. And that's because everything changes. So how do we appreciate change? How do we manage with change? Change can be positive or it can bring sadness. So there is also, there's the reality of change and the reality of old age, sickness and death and loss, and we've all experienced that in one way or another. Loss of relationships, loss of loved ones, loss of jobs. Nothing holds. So we might hear that and hear this as, you know, this disastrous news, but it's actually the first noble truth of Buddhism, that there is suffering, that there is dissatisfaction. And it's a noble truth because we can actually sit still and be present and be upright and appreciate our lives and be grateful for all there is to be grateful for, and also accept that we can't totally get a hold of anything. You know, we can for a while, maybe. And there are very powerful people, tycoons and, you know, people like Donald Trump who can arrange many things and control things. And, you know, so there are some people who don't realize that that nothing holds. But that's not our problem. We're here sitting upright and we start to feel how this is true. So, Dogen says, although wanting it all tied up for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. Staying within the gate, do not wait for the brightness of others. So this is a very traditional Zen admonition. Do not wait for the brightness, the clarity, the understanding of others. We can't, you know, just from reading books or hearing Dharma talks, you're not going to realize it for yourself. staying within the gate. So we say one basic practice instruction in our tradition is turn the Dharma light, turn the light within. Turn the light, take the backward step and turn the light within to realize yourself. So we focus on ourselves, first of all. We sit and we breathe and we face the wall and we see our own stuff come up and we learn to forgive ourselves for being human beings and to be patient with ourselves. And you know, by becoming familiar with our own patterns and habits and grasping and anger and frustration and so forth, we start to not need to react to it. We can respond from a deeper place. We can settle and not cause ourselves or others harm. So staying within the gate, do not wait for the brightness of others. Nobody can tell you how you are Buddha, how you can be Buddha. So it's up to each one of us, staying within the gate. This also refers to a story that I talked about earlier this year from Dongshan, the founder in China of this tradition, where he said, at the end of a practice period, a three-month practice period, he said to his monks as they were leaving, getting ready to go out into the world, this is a basic rhythm in our Zen practice. Even when we come here just for Sunday morning, we turn within, but then we go back out into Chicago. Or if we come to a practice period or an all-day sitting or we're having a five-day sitting in December, there's this rhythm of turning within, but then we step out. And this is part of this basic story or saying from Layman Pong. The bright hundreds of grass tips, all the stuff out there, is the heart mind of the ancestral teachers. It's not only when we settle more deeply, we open up, find our inner calm and dignity and spaciousness when we do the sitting practice, but then we take it out into all of the stuff of the phenomenal world. So when Dongshan was finished with the three-month practice period, he said to his students, it's the beginning of autumn, the end of summer, you will all go out, some east, some west. Please go where there's not an inch of grass for 10,000 miles. So Dongshan was after Layman Pong, but this verse kind of refers to that. Another teacher said, going out the gate, hearing about Dongshan saying this, well, Dongshan said, please go where there's not an inch of grass for 10,000 miles to some place where it's peaceful and calm and beyond the conditions of the hundreds of grass tips. But then he said, but where there's not an inch of grass for 10,000 miles, how can you go? How can you proceed? How can you practice? And later, Shishuang and other teachers said, going out the gate, immediately there's grass. So as soon as you step out onto Irving Park Road, there's the phenomenal world. There may not be much grass, but there's concrete and there's cars and, you know, all that stuff. And later, Tayo Kyogen in Japanese, another teacher in our lineage, said, I would say even not going out the gate, still the grass is boundless. So you know this from just sitting zazen. There's the grass tips growing, even as we sit quietly, calmly facing the wall, enjoying our inhale and exhale. So staying within the gate also, we're here because of our karma, because of conditions, and we're here in accord with the seasons, and it's this wonderful time in Chicago where it's autumn and it's starting to get chilly. And we see this change, and we live in these changes and these conditions. And Dogen says staying within the gate. Even within the gate, there are the hundreds of grass tips. There are the phenomenal worlds. There are the thoughts and feelings and conditions and reflections on all the stuff that's happened in the past week that come up in our sitting. Do not wait for the brightness of others. Pay attention to all of this stuff. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to think about it. Just allow it to be there with your breathing, with your uprightness. So it's up to each one of us. Do not wait for the brightness of others. Then this third line to me is the heart of what Dogen's saying. Wonderful line. Without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. So he says, do not wait for the brightness of others. Then he said, without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. This is, this is one of those lines that you might memorize and use as a mantra or something. Without your caring. So, when I was Shuso at Tassajara, at monk, in the ceremony at the end, someone, a visiting teacher, a senior teacher, asked me, well, what's the use? And I said, because we care a lot. I don't know where that comes from when you're doing the ceremonies. It just comes from somewhere. But yeah, we do. Each one of you is here because you care. You care about the quality of your life. Even, a couple people here had meditation instruction for the first time this morning. Even when you first show up, it's because there's something you care about. You care about the quality of your life. You care about what's going on in the world in one way or another. And the more we practice, maybe the more our caring can be expressed and deepened and widened. But without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. So pay attention to what you care about. Appreciate your caring. It's what brought you here. It's what allows you to find Buddha in your body and mind. And Suzuki Roshi used to say, what is the most important thing? Well, I would just say, what are the things that you care about? What's important to you? To pay attention to that, to know that, to... And it changes, maybe. Maybe, you cared about some things last year that you don't care about so much this year. But pay attention. Pay attention to your intention, to your caring. It's important. It's wonderful. It's a treasure. So how do we hold our caring? We might care about something so much that we ignore lots of other things. That's not so helpful sometimes. How do we hold our caring gently? Steadily. Allowing it to inform us. Allowing it to shift and change. Anyway, without your caring, it's easy to lose the path of active practice. So Dogen talks a lot about active practice. How do we express ourselves? How do we express our bright, clear hundreds of brass tips? So this practice is about settling, and it looks, Zazen, it looks like we're all being very stoic and quiet and like Zen zombies or something. But actually, this is about our active practice. How does this settling and sitting inform all of your creative activities in your everyday life, in your week, and vice versa? How does your active practice inform your zazen? So Dogen emphasizes quite a lot this expression. How do we act, how do we express our practice in the world? How do we respond to the problems and situations of the 100 grass tips in our own lives and in the society around us? Zen practice is not about just becoming some perfect meditator where you have some, kind of athletic prowess at sitting still. The point of this practice, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. Our zazen supports all of the stuff we do during our week, and it supports it in this interesting way where we're informed by this sense of interconnectedness. We're informed by this sense that we start to get that we can't really get a hold of anything. Still, we can sit down. We can be present. We can appreciate all the grass tips in our lives. So without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. We have to, Dogen also says elsewhere, just fully experience the vital process on the path of going beyond Buddha. This is the path of active practice, of active Buddhas. Going beyond Buddha. It's not about reaching some... This practice is not about reaching some perfect, some you know, dramatic experience or some perfect understanding. It's an ongoing path of active practice. With each thing changing, with each thing that we can't quite get a hold of, still, how do we meet it? How do we be helpful in the world? How do we respond from our caring? So without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. Take care of your caring. Then he ends by saying, even the hard of hearing, feel moved by the sound of evening rain. So we all have limitations to our perceptual faculties. This is an important part of Zen, that we recognize the limitations of our seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. And sometimes we have, we lose some of our hearing or some of our seeing or whatever. But still, the sound of evening rain, even if we can't hear well, when we hear the rain outside, there's something that can happen. So compassion in this tradition is defined by the Bodhisattva of compassion, Kanzeon. There's an image of her on that wall and on that wall. And her name means that she hears the sounds of the world. And we could say that we hear the suffering of the world. Sometimes that's said that way. She hears the cries of the world. So we can feel moved by sounds. Listening to sound is one of the meditation objects that is recommended. So when you're sitting and your mind is distracted, just pay attention to ambient sound. Just maybe the shiftings of people in the meditation hall, maybe occasionally we hear traffic going on outside, or the heater or the air conditioner turning on or off, whatever. Or the sound of evening rain. And when you sit at home too, you have the opportunity to feel moved by the sound of evening rain. So our caring is about that we are open to hearing the suffering of the world, that we're open to the First Noble Truth. This supports your caring. This supports your active practice. And, how do we hear it without becoming overwhelmed? How are we moved by knowing about the problems of our world and climate change and inequality and injustice and racism and all of the horrible things going on in our world? We can be moved. And we can be moved to active practice. Part of our practice is just sitting and listening and being open. So we sit, people, for Zazen instruction this morning, you've probably heard that you're supposed to sit here with your eyes open. And some meditation traditions, they sit with their eyes closed. And actually, some of the time here, people have their eyes closed, and it's okay. But basically, we try and sit with our eyes slightly open. Not to look at anything particular, but just that we're open to the world around us. The same way our ears are open. We're turning the light within. We're paying attention to... So we're staying within the gate. We're not expecting somebody else to be Buddha for us. And yet, where if we don't shut down our awareness of a situation in the world, and the situations going, even the situations in the world on your own cushion or chair. So you have to also listen to your own body and mind and hear the evening rain there. And take care of it. Your caring is very important. So take care of yourselves, take care of the world, take care of your friends and family. So this is Dogen's comment on Lenpang saying the bright, clear, hundreds of grass tips are the bright, clear mind of the ancestral teachers. And again, Dogen says, although wanting it all tied up, for tens of thousands of miles, nothing holds. Staying within the gate, do not wait for the brightness of others. Without your caring, it is easy to lose the path of active practice. Even the heart of hearing feel moved by the sound of evening rain. So the last thing I'll say about these stories is that, you know, I've talked about each line of this, and yet we never finish with a story. This is just to open up this teaching. And these stories have been studied for, well, Dogen has studied them going back to the 800s, and he was in the 1200s, and now we're still studying them because there's something there to about our lives, about what we care about. So, at this point, does anyone have any comments or questions or responses or reflections? Please feel free. Any of you? Alex.
So living through Chicago, right? What am I to make of the fact that all of the grass is in specified little areas called parks, and the rest of the living space we have is all concrete?
You know, even in the amidst the concrete, sometimes there's grasses that come up through the cracks. The fertility of the world is very tenacious, very persistent. Human beings are trying, some of human beings and our energy systems and our economic systems are trying very hard to suppress the life of the world and to damage the climate of the world. But it's alive. The world is alive. We're alive. So, you know, there's the concrete seems to dampen that down, but even if it's the concrete, something can be alive. And we should appreciate that life. And there's a lot of vitality in a city. And it may not always look like grass tips, but there's the vitality of culture, there's the vitality of music, there's the vitality of art, there's the vitality of friendships, there's the vitality of good restaurants, you know, whatever. How do we appreciate? So, you know, nature is not something that happens only outside the cities. Nyozan knows because he works on an urban garden. There are more and more urban gardens. The world is alive, even in Chicago. Thank you for your question. Other comments, responses, Miriam? Hi.
The story reminded me of a prayer of the Western, one of the Southwestern Indian tribes, which I once had to learn. And it says, O our Father the Sun, O our Mother the Earth, we are your children born of your love. And then it goes on to say, May we walk reverently on our Mother the Earth. So sort of a little bit the same idea of the mother is, you know, the ultimate ancestor.
Yes.
So that we should know that we are walking upon this. And couldn't help thinking how similar those are.
Yes, yes. Mother Earth and Father Son.
Oh, our Father the Son, our Mother the Earth.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've been talking about Pope Francis, who took his name from Francis of Assisi, who talked about that too. So in many traditions there is this understanding, you know, that we're alive and the world is alive, and you know, that bodhisattvas arise out of the earth, that the earth is our mother, and our father's son, to put it that way, you know, actually, we're using fossil fuels here, but we don't need to. There's the technology now available to, you know, we just need the will to convert and to change our energy systems, but there is a technology from solar and other renewable sources. So, you know, actually, it's possible physically for us to all live in peace, all human beings and other beings who are making extinct, to live in peace on this world and have everything that everybody needs for it. Nobody to be hungry. It's possible physically. We just need to change our way of thinking, you know, and various other conversions that are necessary. But yeah, we can appreciate that for tens of thousands of miles there's nothing to hold on to, and yet there is this path of active practice, and there is the sound of evening rain.